please, book of Romans, Romans chapter 1. We are talking about something that is maybe, you know, you always can say this, maybe the most important thing that we can address at this time in our culture. We live in a culture that claims 70 to 80% of the people are claimed to be Christians. You know, they go to church on Sundays, they're not Muslim, so they're Christian, or they're not atheists, so they're Christians. So let's say there's 70 to 80% of people like that, but of those who are born again Christians, 19% have a Christian worldview. I confirmed that with Trace this morning. That's what his research has proven. 19% of the Christians who go to church or claim to be Christians, only 19% have a Christian worldview. That's huge. There's a difference between being born again or being a Christian and understanding Christian views, understanding a worldview. The Bible puts together not just the path of salvation, but it tells you God's view of the universe, God's view of creation, God's plan for mankind from creation until eternity. He's instituted things that we have to deal with. He's instituted government that we have that is God's idea. He's instituted family, which is God's idea for the well-being of mankind. We have to deal with money and finances or the economic system. God has approved that. God has put something together. There's a way of viewing all of these things. But at the same time, there is a false view. Or I'm going to present to you, as we began last week in that whirlwind of information, I've tried to simplify it this week. Hopefully we will make a little more sense about it. I got James back there manning the slides, and we can maybe move through it. You got a new chart. You see the new chart I gave you, same as last week, but instead of just a one word, you know, that you don't understand, I put together a definition that you don't understand. So we'll try and move through that. And my friends, as you go through that, it looks complicated. It looks like a lot of information, because it is. But in the same time, we can break these things down, and you're going to be so familiar with what is in those charts. You've seen it. You've heard it. Some of you have gone that way. You've practiced these things, or you've embraced those ideologies. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. We live in a free country. God gives you your choice. You can go your way. But understand, my purpose here today is to tell you that God has revealed His plan in the natural world and in His revealed scriptures. And the things that God has revealed in all of those areas that are on the left side of that column, left side of that page, they all are reasonable. They all make sense. There's a continuity through them. There's a pattern. You get into these other ideas, they claim to make sense, but they are fighting reality. They do not line up with creation. They do not line up with the way our lives are going. And we're going to address those things. Chapter 13 of Romans, I've got a few verses I want to begin so that you understand, my friends, that I'm not up here on a political campaign. I'm not up here trying to tell you my ideologies. I'm up here to tell you there is God and a certain way that He has created the universe and a truth that He has revealed. This is the way you operate. But at the same time, there is evil in the world. Evil and false ideas are out here in the world, and they are coming at us. Some people who do not know God or they do not understand the Christian worldview will embrace something else, and they'll try and make sense of it. The problem is it always leads to destruction. It always leads to disaster. It always leads to heartache and never produces what it promises. The Christian worldview will make sense. Now, in the Bible, chapter 12 of Romans, I want to read right here, chapter 12, verse 1, Paul writes, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Here's the verse we want, and you know the verse. "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world." The world is going a direction. There's a pattern. There's a philosophy. There's a column on a chart that I've given you of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice instruction, the renewing of your mind, the teaching, the understanding. There's a spiritual dimension, of course, to Christianity, but there is also the understanding. You must receive truth. You must receive the revelation. No teaching, no education, no understanding, no understanding, no application. No application, you're going to live in chaos because you do not know how to live your life. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve. Notice right there, critical thinking. Then you will be able to test and approve. You will not need someone to tell you, go stand here, go do this. This is the way you live your life. you will have a Christian worldview. You'll have a biblical perspective of the world you live in. And when someone comes at you with an idea, or there's a pattern, or a thought, you will be able to test and approve it yourself. Say, wait a minute, I already know what God says. Our problem, 80%, 70% of our culture is Christian. Max 19% have a Christian worldview. That means 50% of our culture who claims to be Christians have no idea. They are following the pattern of their world. Their minds have not been renewed. We're not saying brainwashed. We're saying instructed, revealed, taught. Make your own choice. This is not brainwashing. This is pulling the curtain back saying, look what's behind here. This is the way the world is. Brainwashing is not the case. The idea here is to show these things to people so they can do this, test and approve, or think critically on these issues. Again, I'm going to say it. I am not here to tell you have to agree with me. I'm not here to tell you that I'm right. I'm here to tell you the things I've got on that column, those, that chart that I'm going to show you, those are different worldviews. You may not even know they exist. You may think that if we would just back off a little bit, everybody will agree. If we would just stop teaching, then everybody could come to a consensus and we'd all agree on the same thing. That is a false philosophy in itself. Because even on those columns, if you got the Christian worldview, you look on the other side, those other five there, they don't even agree. They are in conflict with each other. So if you would do this, if you would shut down every church, if you would shut down Christianity, you'd burn all the Bibles, you'd only have, instead of six, you'd have five categories on that chart, or five lists, they still wouldn't agree. You would still have universal chaos, except the problem there, you've now eliminated the truth. You've eliminated the only thing that is reasonable. There is not unity between the secular humanist and the cosmic humanist and the postmodernist, or whatever else you've got on the chart, the Muslims, the Lenin and Marxism. They don't agree. On certain things they'll agree. They'll agree on world unity, but even at the world unity, some in Lenin and Marxism, in world unity, it is the takeover of the working class and gets rid of government. But the secular humanists, they have a government takeover of the whole world and they have one unified world government. But the cosmic humanists, when they come into play, they're going to evolve in their spiritual understanding and be able to get rid of the entire material world and just live in this spiritual dimension. Do not be deceived. When somebody says God or somebody says spiritual, they are not necessarily Christian. The cosmic humanists sound more like some of our word of faith charismatic people than they do sound like secular humanists. They're talking about the ideal of hearing and following the God consciousness. They're talking about material things coming to you when you find harmony in your life. Material things. They're so spiritual, they're not even Christian. They're outside of the circle. So understand, just because someone throws the word God in an interview or someone talks about spiritual and they're seeking God doesn't mean they're Christian. Be very, very careful. Well, let's go to, please, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Again, I read this last week, but kind of give you some, or give myself some kind of credence, some kind of backbone, some kind of biblical standing here that I'm not just up here railing about something. This is part of our responsibility. Look at this, chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul writing again. He says in chapter 10, verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. Okay, so we're not going to go out and bomb people and shoot people and kill the opposition. Now, that is what, you know, Lenin and Marxists would do, because the only way to eliminate the problem is to eliminate you, which means kill you, but we'll see that in our chart here in a minute. On the contrary, our weapons have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments or imaginations or ideas and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. On your chart that I've given you, on the left is what is the knowledge of God. It is what is biblically revealed. The things on the right are things that have exalted themselves above the knowledge of God, and we are going to tear them down. We are going to demolish them. Scriptural words, by the way. We are going to destroy these strongholds in your mind, not with weapons, but with logic, but with thoughts, with teaching, with education. The problem with the church is not that we don't have enough evangelism, Of course, evangelism is important. We need to evangelize. That's another whole nother dimension. The problem with the church today is not evangelism, but education, of teaching the people in the church the truth so that they can think, that they can be reasonable, that they can have critical thinking, that they themselves can tear down the strongholds first in their own minds and then in the culture. And because the church, only 19% of born-again Christians have this worldview, we are running on about one out of five cylinders. We're running on one wheel instead of four. We are not doing the job of the church. Again, we want to evangelize, but I'm here today to say we need to educate and show these things. I hope you find them interesting. A couple of things. You can head, if you would please, to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 11, verse 5. We're going to go to the Tower of Babel. One of the things we're going to see consistent in these is the concept of world government, a one unified world. I do want to tell Luis, congratulations. Where's Luis at? Congratulations. Homecoming king. I know you announced it already, but I wanted to say I'm very, very impressed, very happy for him. We were rejoicing in West Des Moines, so congratulations. Has nothing to do with the sermon, but I just thought of it. World government. The reason I say, the reason it popped in my mind was because of the way the world's going. It is the way everything is working. It's like we're looking for world peace. We're looking for disharmony. Everything that that the Nobel Peace Prize was based on is like, what? It's like, you know, no military, climate change, which used to be global warming, but why'd they switch it from global warming to climate change? Because it stopped getting warm, so they had to change it to climate change. It's like there's something happening in the world, and it is bigger than politics. There's something happening, and it's bigger than just some little movement that man is in control of. God is moving in the world right now. And mankind, if you read Psalm chapter 2, mankind is coming headstrong against God. He is coming to a showdown with God. And they're going to run their pattern. They're going to run their plays. They're going to run their pass patterns. But the defense of God is going to be there to shut it down, and God is going to be victorious. Now, in Genesis chapter 11, this has already been tried once. Globalism, one world government, of everybody coming together with a false philosophy. There's nothing new. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. We think we're living in the modern age. We think postmodernism is, hey, that's a good idea. Understand, anything we come up with today has already been tried. Satan has nothing new to bring to our table, nothing new to attack us with. Look at this right here. Genesis 11, verse 5. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that men were building. The Lord said, it is if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. One world government had come together after the flood. It was possible they worked on it. And God saw that as very evil, an attack on his plan. And he said, watch. He said, let us go down and confuse them. He says, let us go down and shut this down. Understand, we are not just orbiting in space with no guidance, no purpose. God has a plan. God has a direction. And when man starts to come against this plan, he intervenes and keeps it on course until things will be accomplished as he wants them to be accomplished. Well, it says right here, so the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel. Because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. And now you're going to have God's plan continue. We could go on that, and we did all the way through the book of Genesis. Go to Daniel, please. Now this is going to occur again, as we know. Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. And this kind of picks up on the idea that there's all these ideas there on the right side of your chart. The secular humanism, the cosmic humanism, the Marxism and Leninism, the postmodernism, all these things, and they are, in a sense, are being trying to be put together. If you would look in our country, if you would look in our nation, there are some of all of those mixed in our culture. The only thing that is going to hold it together is the constitutional form of government. Again, I'm going to say this. The Constitution was written with that first column view. The biblical worldview gave birth to the Constitution. which has produced the greatest country, the greatest society the world has ever seen. Again, the book 5,000 Year Leap, if you haven't read it, haven't heard about it, go get it and read it if you care. But the 5,000 Year Leap, the book, it was written in the 70s, indicated, now it's popular because it's like screaming at us, is there was a flat line of human progression from the beginning of time all the way through up until the time of the founding of the United States. In ancient Egypt, they used chariots and horses. In the Middle Ages, they used chariots and horses. During the Revolutionary War, they used chariots or wagons and horses. And then the Constitution came in, a government was formed that found the perfect balance, as close as man can come apparently, of giving men freedom but also giving them some kind of guidance. And after 5,000 years of flat line and progression, oh yeah, once in a while they do something, it shot up. Tremendous advances in humanity in the last 200 years, both in the realm of medicine, in the realm of freedom, world freedom. Slavery has been abolished and is continuing to march as far as getting rid of slavery. It's still evil in the world. But as far as technology, flying, everything that has shot up has taken place in the last 200 years of human history because of the Constitution or something like this. And it's based in Christianity. If you get on those other columns, my friends, leaving that worldview into these other columns is going to undermine our very culture. In fact, if you look in that column, we'll eventually get to that, I gotta hurry, some of the purposes is to undermine Western civilization because it is rooted in Christianity. It is rooted in a biblical worldview. Here, when they all come together, chapter 2 of Daniel, verse 39, this is the vision that Daniel had, or Nebuchadnezzar had, that Daniel interpreted. The head of gold was Babylon. It marches right through the empires. Babylon gave way to Persia, which gave way to Greece, which gave way to Rome. It's all identified here in this vision, from the head to the shoulders to the waist to the legs. But the thing we're interested in is an empire that has not yet risen. Now, there's ways of interpreting this and twisting it to mean whatever anybody would want to mean. I think this is talking yet about an empire that is yet to come. I'm going to begin in verse 42. After having defined the head, the shoulders, the waist, the legs, it comes down to the toes. As the toes were partly iron, verse 41. Just as you saw that the feet and toes of this statue in this vision were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. The world philosophies of trying to come together, they're going to come from different areas. They're going to come from different cultures. They're going to come from different ideologies. And when they come together, it's like meshing those five columns on the right, trying to mesh them together. They cannot even stick itself. That coming kingdom that they're aiming for, that world government, itself is going to collapse because itself is weak because of those ideologies. Not only because of what they contain in them, but because they're going to be conflicting. Go to Daniel chapter 7. Go to Daniel chapter 7. I'm getting off track here. Daniel 7, I'll read this and I'll get back to our chart. Chapter 7, verse 23. And we could look at this in several places of this, of a day coming in the future where it talks about the whole world following, the whole world going astray, all the nations coming together. It's something in the future, yet there's going to be some kind of unity, a false unity, mainly against God, as in Psalm chapter 2. But Daniel chapter 7, verse 23, Daniel says, he gave me this explanation. The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on the earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. Verse 24, the ten horns are ten kings who will come from this kingdom. After them, another king will arise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue these three. He will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints and try to change set times and laws. I want you to notice that. The king that is coming, this world leader, whoever he would be, again, I don't think he's Obama, but, you know, some people would say that, but that's ridiculous. Say, he'll try to change set times and laws. Try to change things that are natural, things that God has established that can't be changed. And you're going to see as we get into this, some of the things that they're going to want to change are the institutions, family, marriage, getting rid of government itself. These things God has established for the well-being of mankind, but there's these false philosophies that are going to try to undermine the very things that bring stability to human civilization. It says, but the saints will be handed over to him for a time, times and half a time, but the court will sit, again, good news, there is a higher court than the Iowa court, or there is a higher court than the United States Supreme Court. There is a higher court than the world government court, but the court will be set, and his power will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. And this speaks again of the day when God's kingdom itself is manifested. Well, with that, I'd like to have you take your charts that I've given to you and understand, I think we've given a little bit of groundwork for what we're looking at here. I hate to do this. I'm going to set my Bible right here. It's a very dangerous thing to do. This, again, comes from Summit Ministries. A worldview ministry that is incredible. Great teachers in that whole ministry. I've tried to reduce this to some thoughts. This requires more teaching or more investigation on your part. I've simplified things. If you want to compare how simplified it is, you may be unfamiliar with Marxism and Leninism or cosmic humanism. You say, how accurate is this? Well, look over there in the Christian column. You should be familiar with the Christian worldview to some extent. What I've written down there is an example of how I've reduced and summarized these other areas. So again, there's much more to be said, but these are some things that you maybe can recognize. Okay, James, let's go to slide A, and we're going to march right through this. On these slides that I'm going to show you, I've got these things written down here. About the first half we've already looked at last week. The second half will be new material. In theology, for example, the areas are going to be theology, philosophy, ethics, biology, psychology, sociology, law, politics, economics, and history. All of those have a Christian worldview, but secular humanism also has a view. Marxism has a view. Cosmic humanism has a view. And postmodernism has a view. Now, there's another 50 worldviews we could put up there. John asked me earlier about Buddhist or what. Some, there's a variety of other things you could put up here. These are the things that you are dealing with. In fact, these are things that you may actually think along the lines with and go your way. But I'm telling you, you need to get in the Christian worldview to have things make sense. Personally, for your family, for your community, for your culture, for your world. Theology. Basically, Christian worldview is going to be in the middle. It means, or it says, God exists. You can see on your chart, God exists. He's intelligent. He's powerful. He's loving. He's just. He died for our sins, indicating there's a need of salvation in the world among men. Okay. But the secular humanists, they say there is no God, and there's only matter. You're not spiritual. You're just matter. Your soul that you think you have, just a chemical reaction. It's all matter. So we don't have to deal with salvation. We don't have to deal with sin. We don't have to deal with eternity. We just deal with what we can see. The scientific process reveals everything. Marxism and Leninism, same thing, no God. But their goal, ultimately, Marxism and Leninism, is heading towards this idea that communism must be established for the salvation of the world. Communism, it used to be, we've progressed. Most of them are going to agree in some form of evolution, some process we're going through of evolving. Talk about that as we go. But Marxism and Leninism has seen humanity progress from the lower forms of life or culture to the highest form, which is communism, which we're trying to attain to. It began with slavery, which gave way to feudalism, which gave way to the free enterprise or capitalism, which is now going to give way to socialism. And when all property and private property is taken away, it will produce communism. And then we have world peace. Then all of our needs are met, and then we work in harmony with each other. Now understand, do you hear what I'm telling you? Someone can say, yes, I'm a Christian, whatever that means, and think in this philosophy, then they think There was slavery, which was a bad form of government or bad form of economics, which gave way to feudalism. And then out of feudalism came our current free enterprise or capitalism. But we've got to just as surely as we had to undermine slavery, we have to undermine capitalism and bring in socialism. And socialism's job is to remove private property so that we can then enter communism and live happily ever after. And do you think, if you really believe that, you're going to try to advance that? Let me ask you this. If you think Jesus Christ is Lord and that he is the soon coming king, do you think you're going to have a tendency to act on that? Well, I would hope so. That's called evangelism. It's called maturity. They're going to act on that. And all of a sudden, you've got people who are trying to defend the Constitution, defend capitalism, and you've got somebody coming alongside saying, well, okay, I see you're only at level 3. I'm going to take you to level 4, leading you to level 5, going a direction we don't want to go, which is not a real direction. Cosmic humanism is so opposite. Secular humanism, it says it in the term secular. It believes that we're only matter. Cosmic humanism, which is not as politically powerful as secular humanism, but is very, very powerful in Hollywood, believes that all is God, and that we've just got to come, and this is where people are going to be throwing around spiritual God, and we just got to come to this God consciousness, and everything will be fine. And if you're wrapped up in materialism, just that will disappear as soon as you understand God. You can read some things there, that you are all God, we're all God, it's a God consciousness. And postmodernism is similar to secular humanism, except instead of saying there's only matter, they're going with Nietzsche saying God is dead, he's unbelievable. It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous concept. You're going to find as we go through this chart, the things that we deal with in our culture are secular humanism and postmodernism. Marx and Lenin is trying to make a move, but right here, these two are where we're going with. Okay, the next chart, please. Philosophy. The Christian worldview. Basically, Christianity is reasonable. The Bible is reasonable, especially when you talk about creation by a designer, a creator. It makes sense. It explains everything. But we've got a question. The question will be answered. Some things are beyond our understanding, but Christianity explains things. It makes sense. Well, philosophy. Secular humanism, science measures reality. If you can't measure it, if you can't touch it, if you can't use a scientific principle, it doesn't exist. A Marxism. I told you this last week. Thesis means the way it is. Antithesis is the opposite that's working against it. And as those two have the tension, it eventually leaps to the next level, which is the synthesis, which produces biological evolution. It's going to produce the evolution of thought. It's going to produce the evolution of government, economics. It's the way things are, the opposite that's fighting with it, or a difference that produces a new level. It's just chaotic jumps through history. No pattern, no purpose. Cosmic humanism, everything is spiritual. You think we're really here. You think the chairs are real. You think you've got a body. But as soon as you get in tune with God consciousness, the way that we are supposed to think, you'll realize there is no such thing as thick sickness. There is no such thing as poverty. There is no such thing as the chair. We're all just moving through life happily, just deceived by Western culture. Okay. Postmodernism, reality is constructed. There's no universal truth. Reality is brought together by, and this is going to affect ethics, it's going to affect history. It is, what do you see? What do you think it's supposed to be? It's constructed by your local community. What is truth for me? What is truth for us? I know that used to be truth over there, but today, what is truth for us? What works for us? So it's everything in postmodern, it's constructed. There's nothing absolute. Next screen, please. We now move to, ethics? Ethics, Christian worldview, our ethics, what's right and what's wrong. God is absolute. Character, his character hates evil, loves good. In other words, God exists, he is good, and ethics radiate from him. Again, we mentioned this last week, the Muslims, their God just makes rules. God doesn't make rules, he is. And so his character, his personality, is what's right and what's wrong. This is who God is. And so God is absolute. His character is absolute. His character is the source of what we consider right and wrong. We are made in his image. The world is made by him, his character. Secular humanism, humans decide. You can read more right here on the paper. They decide their standards and their values. It's like because there's nothing established, you've got to decide. Again, you're going to have some things that are equal. Across the board, secular humanism, Marxism, cosmic humanism, postmodernism, they're pretty much all agreeing. Nothing's absolute. We have to determine it. It's going to just matter of how you're determining it. Marx and Leninism, how do they determine ethics? Good is this. Communism is the goal. Anything that advances communism is good. Kind of like we're looking for the kingdom of God. To advance the kingdom of God, whatever it takes to advance the kingdom of God, it's good. But see, we're limited to God's character. We've got to stay within God's framework to advance the kingdom of God. For example, if it means killing Christians, if it means wiping out entire races of people to advance communism, that's a good call. That's a good thing to do. Their ethics are based in the advance of communism. We're not making these things up. It's not like, well, you're just saying what you want them to say. Read their material. Have you read the Secular Humanist or the Humanist Manifesto 1 and Humanist Manifesto 2? It's there. This is right out of their literature. Cosmic humanism, the inner consciousness, is your ethics. What is being told to you? What are your impulses? What do you feel like doing? There's no absolutes. Now you've seen, I remember when this hit schools and families and they tried to raise children this way. Don't interfere. Don't interfere with the little two-year-old. Let him go. He's following his impulses. Yes, he is. Well, in my world, I was following the Christian worldview and I observed his behavior and I says, that doesn't line up with God's character, and boom, brought him in line with what I thought was right. This the cosmic humanist would feel, well, let's just see what his little impulses want to do. Okay, you can raise your children that way if you like to, but don't bring them over to my house. Postmodernism. Postmodernism, a local community again decides what's right and wrong. Again, there's no absolutes, but they're all about community and what do we think. It gives them freedom. They're going to interpret history the same way. History was written down by other people who just decided what they wanted to record. Whatever. We'll tell you what we think happened. This is huge in historical teaching. It's called history. I can't tell what it's called. Next slide. Biology, life, where we came from, how we live, how we exist, our natural world. Christian view, creation accounts for design, law, and order. We are designed the way we are because the Creator made us this way. There are laws called, now I'm not talking about legal laws, that's coming up later. Scientific laws, principles that happen every time. The very fact that you can bake a cake, you put in the same ingredients, every time you get the same cake. If you don't get the cake that's right, you did something wrong. It was too hot, too cold, you put the wrong ingredients. You messed up because if you do it the right way, there are laws that determine that will produce a cake. How did that happen? A creator put it here. That is our view of biology. Okay. Secular humanism. Natural selection. We're just here. Matter is eternal. And then there's mutations. Something freaky happens. Again, that gets into the thesis, antithesis, and the synthesis. Is mutations then produce new species. Okay. It's all just chaotic, random production. Although there's more order in secular humanism than there's going to be in postmodernism. I know we're on overload already, but just stay with me. Between secular humanism, there's a process of evolution. It's orderly. It's happening. Postmodernism, there's no pattern. It's just all chance. And they would even disagree in their philosophy. You say, well, the secularist and the postmodernist, they would agree. Not here, because they are both counting on evolution. But in their case, evolution is leaps, random leaps. You can't even count it, can't even control it. These guys have got some laws that they're following. Next, Marx and Leninism, they believe in evolution. They believe in clashes and leaps that produce change. And that's seen in everything besides biology. That affects economics and government politics. Cosmic humanism. Now we're into the spiritual dimension, if you want to go spiritual. You're evolving into harmony. You are in a state of disharmony, but you're evolving into a state of harmony. And the more you become conscious and listen to that inner voice, the more you reach harmony. Material gives way to the spiritual eventually. And postmodern, there's no pattern, there's just chance and random leaps. Next slide, please. Psychology, this is you. This is about you, who you are. The Christian worldview is it acknowledges spiritual. You are spiritual. Yes, you've got a physical body, but there is a spiritual dimension that's real, that's revealed in Scripture. You are spiritual, but also a very, this is huge. This is huge. Because somehow we've got to explain evil. We've got to explain why people kill each other. We've got to explain why people cheat on tests. We've got to explain why people will lie in government. Why? Why? Why are they doing this? Christians say man has fallen, he has a sin nature, and has need of salvation. He himself is corrupt inside. Now, you understand what I just said? Psychologists would say, you're damaging people by telling them they're not good. Okay, I think I'm helping people by identifying their problem. Okay, go to the doctor. You've got cancer. The doctor don't want to tell him he's got cancer. You're fine. Just go your happy way, and things will work out. Just think positive thoughts. It's not your fault. It's big business's fault you've got cancer. Go your way. Well, what's going to happen? Of course, the cancer is going to destroy the body, and they're going to die. If the doctor is doing his job and he recognizes, I can see you've got a problem, he then begins to cure the cancer and fight the cancer and lead the person towards an answer. Lying to the person or deceiving the person isn't helpful. So in the Christian worldview, psychology, or in psychologically, is each of us has a sin nature. It needs to be controlled. We have a bent on evil. Yes, there is the devil. Yes, there is the world system. They are coming against us. But we ourselves are part of the problem. That makes so much sense, and it's such a useful thing because that means you can do evil on your own. Okay. Secular humanism, which means you need salvation. Jesus Christ died for your sins. There's a way of salvation. There's truth. That's what I'm sharing with you that can help you solve your problem. Secular humanism. Monism, which means you're only a body. You're just a body. Don't get confused with that whole thing. Man is good. You're a physical body, and you're good. Don't get confused. This, my friends, is where John Dewey messed up. In our current public education system, this was the huge mistake he made. He nullified the need of salvation. He nullified the sin nature and says, man is good. He is only a body. Let's set up an education system that deals with this. Now, he did a great job of being a secular humanist, but his philosophy is wrong, and it's completely falling apart on him. Because his idea is the more we educate the physical man, the good physical man, the better he's going to be. And now, 70, 80 years later, all we got was smarter sinners. It's like nothing happened, nothing changed. Marxism and Leninism, they believe in a physical being, that's all you are, and your environment causes you to be the way you are. A lot of these are going to say, and you can see on your chart there, is when people sin, when crimes are committed, it's the fault of the, right here. Postmodernism, self-created by family, education, local culture, and if they fail, it's their fault. The reason you sin, the reason there's crime, it's the environment. If we put you in a better environment, things would be better. Cosmic humanism, society stifles the God within. Follow the impulses. You go to school and they make you sit in a chair and follow the rules. Listen to the God within. Get up and run around. You go into government positions and they want you to follow laws. Don't follow the laws. Follow the impulses within. That is cosmic humanism as you're discovering the God within you. They call it the God consciousness. Christians call it the sin nature. That's two different terms. In postmodernism, that's the whole idea is yourself is created by your environment. The reason you're the way you are, that's the way your parents made you. That's the way your community made you. That was because of the high school you went to. That's who you are. If you got a problem with sin, it's not your fault. You were created good. They messed you up. What's going to be the answer for this? Are you ready? I mean, just see if you can do a little critical thinking. If family, education, and your local culture created you or molded you and made you sin, what is the answer to stop that problem? Get rid of the family and the local traditions that are causing these things and let man follow his natural goodness. Next screen, please. That's psychology on who you are. The next one, sociology on your society. Here we go. In God's Word, in Scripture, you can see the individual is important, but also, besides the individual, social order is important. Things like marriage, family, the state. I remember I was teaching a class one time, And someone raised their hand and asked, there's a high school student, raised their hand and said, I was in a Christian school, not a public school, so I could talk like this. He raised his hand, he says, well, I was talking about government or something. And he said, well, government's evil. He says, government needs to be done away with. And it's like, I said, why do you say that? He says, because God made man in the Garden of Eden. He made him free to just roam around. You can see where this guy's heading. And he's using Bible. I don't know where he's been going to church, but this is what he was using. And I says, God established government. I said, because man fell in the garden, had a sinful nature. God then, after the flood of Noah, brought in government for a standard to help control man and keep man from destroying each other. And of course, after about 10, 15 minutes of that, he agreed with me. But God established both individual and social order. It's important. The family is important. The marriage is important. That is the biblical worldview. You must have marriage. You must have family. You must have government. All of them have their position. And there's the church also, or the institution that God established for the spiritual growth. But notice, different than Islam, in Islam, the government and the religion are mixed. They're, you can't divide them. In fact, you throw the family, and they're all just one glump right here. In Christian view, there is the family, which is separate from the government. The government assists the family, but the government is not the family. And to shake some people's foundation, the government is influenced by the church, and the church is influenced by the government, but the two are not the same. Muslims or Islam has a theocracy. We, biblical worldview, you can say you want it, but it's wrong, will never have the defense biblically for a theocracy where we are now ruled by a religious state. Again, at least in the Constitution, it's not that way. When Jesus Christ comes and he's the king, the rule giver, and the judge, okay, now you've got a theocracy because Jesus is on the earth. Well, keep that in mind. Secular humanism. Social institutes make man evil. The reason man is evil is because of social institutions. And look on your chart right there. Look on your chart. We're under sociology, under secular humanism. Civilization, culture are evil and make men evil. Family is the worst. Secular humanists believe that family is the thing that is the biggest problem we've got is family, mainly because of male dominance. Yeah, okay. Government education is most desirable method for abolishing these old institutions. Do you understand that? Now, I'm not saying every public school teacher is a secular humanist, but I am saying if there's a secular humanist philosophy running through public schools, one of their goals is to use the government system to undermine the family. Now, it's just like, I'm a public school teacher. I am not trying to undermine the family. And other people can say, I'm not trying to undermine the family. Right. But the institution or the ideology of secular humanism, they must do this, and they have got roots, deep roots, in the public school system. And anything they can do to take away your responsibility, your rights, to get it over to the government is a way of destroying the family and solving this problem that social institutions like family create evil in people. Okay, I mean, that's their view. John Dewey believed that. He wrote that. Marxism and Leninism, empower men and they will act right. That's a beautiful world. The idea of Marxism is they want to take, we've got business and we've got private property. All that has to be done away with and given to the people. Just give the people all of the positions, everything. And of course, they don't have any property. They just are in charge of production. You don't own anything. You just work the land. So you yourselves are in charge of everything. You're in charge of production. And when you have all of that, government can be done away with. Laws can be set aside. And when you have the right to produce and manage your own world, everything will be fine. You'll make the right decisions. Again, what's wrong with that? They don't figure in the fact that there's a sin nature that I'm going to want more than you've got. Cosmic humanism, their ideas, rebel against traditional society, that makes man evil. Again, we got some consistency here. And postmodernism, even the playing field. In the postmodern culture, because, for example, males, white males, have been so dominant in Western civilization, that needs to change. That is the problem. Because white men have been in charge for so long, they need to be oppressed, they need to be demonized, and we need to even the playing field giving favor to minorities. Minorities, which anything that is not a white male. I mean, this is where you get the homosexual agenda and all kinds of things. Bring that in right here, and we need to bring this up and eliminate Western culture.
Again, this is just what they think. Next one, please. Sociology. Law. Law. This is now your legal law. Why we have laws in the land. Based on God's character, once again, and all men have rights. The Constitution calls them unalienable rights. You have rights. Because you're created in God's image, you have certain rights that cannot be taken away. Because of who you are, no one can touch them. What about government? No, government can't touch those. Government is here for, God established government. It's here for a purpose, but it is not here to take away your rights. The things that God gave you. The idea, and they describe it as life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Or that is, we can find their writings, the pursuit of private property. That's what was in their writings. Life. No one's got the right to take your life. No one's got the right to take your freedom to make choices in your world and affect your world. Of course, that comes with responsibility on your part. And no one's got the right to prevent you from owning things. Now, what's the government for? To keep that all in balance. That is based in scriptural biblical worldview, based on God's character. Secular humanism. State is sovereign, and they make the laws. The state is the most important. They make all the laws. Nothing higher than the state. They'll make the laws. Which makes complete sense when a judge can sit down and say, well, I changed my mind. Boom, this is now the law. Or they can pass immoral legislation. What? We decided. See, there's no checks or balance form. Next, Marxism-Leninism. No laws needed if no private property. If Marxism and Leninism finally had their way, they could get rid of all private property. And if there's no private property, there's nothing to fight over, then we'd all be happy and we'd all get along and we would need no laws, no government. And that's when John Lennon starts singing the song, Imagine. Cosmic humanism. Am I going too fast? I think no one's laughing at any jokes. Cosmic, you're still thinking about the Obama thing, aren't you? Cosmic humanism. No laws needed when we reach enlightenment. When we become spiritually enlightened and realize it doesn't really matter, there's no such thing as material things anyhow, there's no need for government either. Notice how this would go. Okay, down here. Postmodernism. The Western law is evil. Your entire culture, the judicial system, the laws, that whole concept is evil and makes people evil. Less objectivity, meaning less laws, less absolutes, and more subjectivity. Once again, going back, what do you want? What do you want for laws? What do you feel is a law for you? Well, I just feel whatever I want should be what I want, and I get what I want. Okay, well then live that way. Okay, you can see the problem with the whole thing here. There. I want you to notice the difference here. Secular humanism, the state is sovereign, they make the laws. Postmodernism, they say, there is no state, there is no laws, you go ahead and what do you feel is right? And you see, at a time they're going to agree, but just like in Daniel's statue, those toes and the feet made of clay and iron, eventually when these things start trying to come together, if they do get rid of Christianity, the biblical worldview, and they try to come together, they still can't because they're conflicting amongst themselves. After law, boy, we're almost done. Politics. Secular humanism. Politics. God ordained government. Government is good as long as it doesn't conflict with freedom and the things that he's given man. Man, individual responsibility, marriage, family, and government. And government cannot nullify what God has already established. Just like then comes the church. The church came after government was established. The church is not government. The church is a spiritual identity. God ordained it. Secular humanism, world government is where they want to go. When all the governments of the world are broken down, all the borders are demolished, and all the currency is united, world government equals world peace. Now, why would they think that would work? I mean, again, Daniel's dream, Daniel's vision that Nebuchadnezzar had, the feet of clay and iron. It's like, you can't. You can do it. You can sign the treaty. You can make the agreement, but it's going to crumble. Marxism, the world class takeover, the working class takes over and they have all the property dismantled, then there'll be no need for government. Notice, God ordained, you want to see how the world is coming against God's institutions? God established government for the well-being of mankind in its right limits. Secular humanism wants world government, one world government, not many. Marxism wants no government. Cosmic humanism, when spiritual unity is achieved, it makes government obsolete. They don't want any government. They just want spiritual unity. And postmodernism, get rid of Western culture, empower the minorities, and everything will be fine. give the government to the minorities, get rid of Western culture. That is postmodern worldview. Next one, please. Now we're into economics. See if you can pick up anything here. Does any of this stuff sound familiar? Anything? I mean, besides the Christian, do you see any of these things coming in your newspapers, on your radio, from politicians? Anything? If you haven't, wake up, okay? Here it is. Economics, free enterprise. In other words, one, we need a system that will check man's sin nature. You just can't have a free-for-all. There has to be some kind of government, some kind of regulation over man. Otherwise, he's just going to hoard stuff. He's selfish. That's his nature. He's got a sin nature. So something has to be in place to limit man. Limit, not completely take over. And the same thing, make man responsible. Mankind, if a man don't work, a man don't eat. Basic principle. There has to be certain rules. But listen, if you don't work, you don't eat. In other words, we're not going to feed you. If you don't work, you're not going to eat. There's plenty of freedom to go out and make a living. But at the same time, we got to put some kind of boundaries on you, absorbing and taking everything to yourself and becoming a tyrant. So there's a balance. Economics. It's called the free enterprise system. Secular humanism. Man plans, hear this, man plans the perfect economy. If we think, if we negotiate, if we move things around and reposition the money, we can create the perfect economy. It's called interventionist. Marxism, production is it. Everything has evolved again. We said that from slavery to feudalism to capitalism, eventually to socialism. So right now in the Western world, we're at capitalism. What has to happen in this worldview is we have to overthrow capitalism and bring in socialism so we can dissolve private property so we can move into the utopia of communism. That's this worldview. Sound familiar? Interventionist, does that sound familiar? Create the perfect economy? This used to make sense, free enterprise. Cosmic humanism, back here to the spiritual. Spiritual harmony causes material to flow to you. If you'll just get in touch with your inner self, it will just come. I've tried that. That's my favorite one. You just pray and it comes. I'm not in harmony yet. I still have to go to work tomorrow. Postmodernism, alleviate human suffering with government intervention. Again, this sounds good. Our goal is to alleviate all human suffering. Well, no, as Christians, we're in favor of human suffering. Well, what do you mean you alleviate? Everybody wants to alleviate. Which one of these wants to create human suffering? Now, some of them just want to eliminate humans that are in their way, but they want to alleviate human suffering with government intervention. So if the government can just take over all these things, get what they want, and redistribute it, they can solve the problem because in the free enterprise, you're too selfish to do anything about it. Again, that's why there has to be some kind of checks and balances. You need to redistribute your own wealth. The Bible has it. You've got money. It says repeatedly, giving to the poor. It is a command. You're responsible for yourself, your family, but you're responsible for your community. You're responsible for those that are less fortunate. That's a biblical principle. So it's just not about getting. It's about getting so you now can distribute. This right here, interventionist, or down here, this intervention, is about taking it from you because you don't know what to do with it and balancing it all out. Well, of course, you know that's going to do to make man responsible. You take away what I got, I'm going to stop going and getting it. I mean, how many times you got to do that? We're about there as a culture. Economics. Next, history. History. Biblical worldview of history is God created the world. Man fell into sin. We are now in a process of him revealing his revelation, of him bringing salvation, restoration into a standing with God. That's basically where history goes. It's a process. It's the history of salvation. Creation, fall, salvation, and we're going to be restored to God in eternity. That is the way. There's a purpose. There's a direction. There's a design. Just as surely there's as a creator and a designer in the universe, there's a designer and creator for history. Secular humanism. Sorry, there's no design. There's no plan. What's going on? Just randomness. We move from the simple to complex. We used to be one-celled organisms. Now we're humans. We used to be in a state of just tyranny and oppression, and someday we're going to be communists. Everything's moving from simple to something more complex. We're progressing, but there's no direction. There's no design. Marxism, Leninism, result of biological and economic evolution. Where we are going historically is the process of evolution. We're evolving biologically, but also we're evolving economically. And here's where they would say, we're heading towards communism. We're evolving towards communism. Get out of the way. You can't stand in the way of it. Imagine if you're in these groups right here, what do you want to do to our culture? Cosmic humanism. Of course, we're moving towards God consciousness, and Christians hinder this because you believe in anything. The only absolute cosmic humanist has, as with the postmodernism, is if you say there's absolutes, you're absolutely wrong. Otherwise, there's no absolutes. And then postmodernism, about history, facts of history are inaccessible. See, like what's written here, the Bible, the history in this Bible, the history in your history books, the history on the History Channel. Who knows? We weren't there. I don't have a chance to judge it. And the people that wrote it, they just wrote their own view of what happened. It's like a car accident. There's an accident, and five people see the accident, got five different stories. And we just happen to have right here, I'm looking at Ezekiel. Ezekiel just tells us what he thought, what he saw. But whatever. You need to read what he wrote and try and see into there what really happened. And so now what you do with history, once you discover what really happened, you can rewrite history. Do you understand what I just said? All of history is meaningless because it was written by people who just wrote what they wanted. So what we have today, we are now forced to read it and reinterpret it and tell you what really happened. With that, you can do whatever you want to do. You can rewrite American history. You ever heard of that? Rewriting what happened. Rewriting about all of the heroes of the old world. Whatever, if they're good, they're bad, rewrite it. And the best thing to do, what they'll do when they combine, listen, if postmodernists want to undermine Western culture and they're rewriting history, what are they going to do with the heroes of Western culture? They're going to turn them into evil people with corrupt intentions, because of course all of Western culture is corrupt, especially the white male. All of that was corrupt, and so they're going to rewrite that, and all of a sudden all of your heroes become villains and immoral people that you shouldn't even pay attention to. We've got a new idea for you. They're going to undermine the Western culture. Okay, that is the end of that chart. We've got some other things very quickly. The next chart right here. Here we go. Christianity. You choose. You choose which one. If you had to choose which one you believe. Christianity. God exists. Christianity is reasonable. God is absolute. Creation explains design. Man is fallen. Social institutions have been established by God. Law is based on God's character. The state is ordained by God. There's free enterprise for our economic system. Move from fall into redemption. That is the Christian worldview. Everything revolves around that. Okay, next chart. Again, this is simplified. If you're a secular humanist, this is the way you view the world, and this is how you're going to solve problems. One, no God exists. You are only matter. You're just a physical body. Man decides what's right and wrong. You make your own choice. How did we get here? Natural selection. You just evolved. Man is good, and he's only a body. You're good. Just get going. Culture makes you evil. Get rid of the common or the traditional institutions that corrupted you. Family, marriage. Get rid of that. It's slowing you down. It's making you evil. The state is sovereign. Give all the power to the state, and they'll tell you what to do because the government makes the rules. World government, when eventually takes over not just your government, the whole world, we will have world peace. Man plans the perfect economy in that condition, and history, of course, has no purpose. If we came from nowhere, we're going nowhere, but we've got to solve that. That's a secular humanist. Next. Now, that's what they believe. You can make fun of that, but you can also make fun of the Christian belief. You're one or the other, or you're one of these. Postmodern. God is dead. It's unbelievable. Reality is constructed by man. You construct your own reality. Local communities decide on what is true. Reject order and design. There's no design in anything. It's just random leaps of evolution. Even the playing field. Anyone who's in the majority has to be moved away, and minorities have to be exalted. Otherwise, we're not going to change anything. Western culture is evil. Empower the minorities. Demonize the majority. Alleviate human suffering and rewrite history. Or reinterpret history to find the truth. Next. Cosmic humanism. This is the spiritual one. Everything is divine. Everything is spiritual. Society stifles God in man. Man is good. Each person decides. World government equals world peace. You see these? These are all heading towards what I showed you earlier, the feet of iron and clay of a world government. Cosmic humanism. We already did this one. Next one. Is there another one? Ah, there's your chart. That looks confusing. Okay, with that, I'm going to have to quit. That's a lot of information. You've got the chart right there. You can go and find online at Summit Ministries, the same chart with more information. But it is the worldviews that we're looking at. Again, the things I've said, you can say, well, that's harsh. You shouldn't be picking on people. You shouldn't be. It's like, that's what they believe. They are trying to do certain things. Just as surely as I'm trying to teach Jesus Christ, I'm trying to lead you to salvation in Christ, I'm trying to explain the biblical worldview, and I think this is the salvation that we look for, there are others who laugh at this, mock at this, and think that I'm crazy and I'm delusional, and they've got an answer for you. I've presented their answers for you. Maybe they're right. Maybe that's what you want. Maybe I did them an injustice. Maybe there's a truth that you need to follow in that. Go your way. God lets you choose. Go your way. Become a secular humanist or continue as that. Continue as a postmodernist. Good luck. Good luck. Psalm chapter 2 will take place. When the one enthroned in heaven laughs, he throws his head back and laughs and says, what are you doing? I've established my king. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the creator. He is the savior. He is the redeemer. And he's the soon coming judge who will establish his kingdom. I'm betting my eternity on that. I'm betting my life on that. I'm trying to bring my worldview into line with that view of thinking. Anything outside of that, I think is going to lead you the wrong way. You decide. Our culture is on that chart. Our culture is going that way. What's wrong with our culture? That chart is wrong with our culture. Maybe it's Christianity that's wrong. Maybe it's secular humanism that's wrong. Maybe it's postmodernism that's wrong. Whatever it is, one of those is right, and the rest are wrong. But they all can't be right. And there's people in our culture right now trying to do all of those things. And that's why you see the civil conflict going on. The Bible says to expose these things, to renew your mind. We've done that. Next week, we'll move on. Father, we do thank you so much for your truth. We ask that you may lead us and guide us. We ask that we may have an understanding of all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.